Verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. A day in your courts is better than a thousand. In other words, a day spent in the court of God, the house of God, is better than 1,000 days spent anywhere. Which means the time we come here is better than hours you spend outside. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you this. Do we all feel that way? There are some of us who come here, but we despise here. Amen. There are some of us who come here that we feel this place don't even deserve your best at all. Whereas God says a day in his house is better than a thousand out there. Now, I'm not talking about us here generally. I want us to see the state of Christianity now. Hallelujah. We are not talking ourselves down, but we want to just say the truth and provoke ourselves to good works. The reason why we are doing this is because we are close to the end of the ages. I am not a man of God that will come and say things because so that people can hear and like it. One thing is that God has made me a teacher, but in a prophetic way. Amen. And when I say it, it's always prophetic. Always prophetic. And the heart of God now is that we are close to the end times and it's time for the church to rise. And God is using so many things to speak to the church, but we didn't even know it. All those things happened in Chile, in, what's it called? Haiti. Is all voicing something to the church. You know, every time you see groaning coming from the earth, they are saying, sons of God, arise. Creations are groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Every time you see trouble, anything grown from this earth, is a call upon the people of God. Amen. This is not the time to waste time on unnecessary things or to play gimmicks or unnecessary gimmicks. That time is completely gone. Hallelujah. And God is saying that, he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Do you know that the Holy Spirit today is God, but you are his house? If I tell you that the Holy Spirit today, before the Godhead, is a servant in this house, would you be surprised? The Holy Spirit is God, but while he's in our temple in this body, he's a servant to the Father and to Jesus Christ. Amen. That was voicing something concerning him and the people he will live in. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding me? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Do you know where God calls the tent of wickedness? Any place whereby Christ is not lifted up is the tent of wickedness. And if we find ourselves in that tent of wickedness, our assignment is one thing there, to win souls and to let them know that Jesus lives in you. Any other thing is a waste of time. But this is the tent of righteousness. All of us seated here, we are the righteousness of God. Do you know the havoc we do when we despise ourselves? Do you know what we are, disgracing ourselves before before God, in front of the devil, when we despise ourselves? Amen. Do you know a believer, a fellow church in this place can come here and just begin to despise everybody here? Amen. Somebody can come here and just despise everything. Somebody can walk in here and say, oh, Lord, all these non-entities here, I'm just managing myself here. Hallelujah. People can be a believer and still curse the Lord when you despise the people of God. Are we hearing me? It is not that there is no power in the church. It is not that the enemy is having a free way. I want to tell you this. Satan has no power. I was in a meeting yesterday. Right from the time I entered that meeting to the time I left, they were praying before I got there. They had a big prophetic meeting, nice, well organized. They were praying for, but right from that I got there till the time I left, every prayer they were praying is against this witch and that witch, this, that, and this, that, all against the devil. I never heard something of Jesus, the nation, anything mentioned. Hallelujah. And the zeal by which people were praying, I looked and said, if this energy was put in prayer, I said, Lord, conform me to Christ. That devil will not only flee from them, they will control nations. Hallelujah. Not only that, the prophet said in line up theory, he said they should come and sit on some chair with big money. And as they sit, as they pray from them, things will be happening for them. And come and see people queuing up with big money of envelope in their hand, queuing up and sitting down and be praying. And I looked, I was just laughing. The prophet said, everybody pray. I was there thanking God. He said, I said, pray. He looked at me, I said, pray. I looked at him back. I was thanking God. Hallelujah. Because you know why? You know why? I wasn't like that before, but God said, somebody must be radical to let people begin to think. Are you hearing me? Jesus is, let me tell you, before I came here, I was watching Revelation. If somebody watched Revelation channel an hour before 7, it was between 6 and 7, on it was a Muslim man. They had an Islamic, Great Britain Islamic conference. I know what they were doing. This man said, he was an MP. He said, I want to congratulate you, British Muslims. He said, we started, I can't remember how many, about 10 years ago. He said that we started this mission only 10 years ago with nobody representing us in the House of Parliament. But when we started, our vision is to take over the government of Great Britain and turn this nation to a Muslim nation. He said, we had nobody. He said, but we're determined. He said, 2 years after, we had two Muslims in the seat of parliament. He said, 4 years after, we had four. He said, two years ago, we had eight. He said, I want to tell you, now we have 16. Hallelujah. He said, now we have 16 seats. He said, and I know, and if you see the confidence he was speaking, he said, I have no doubt. He said, I have no doubt. He said, let's keep pressing on. He said, I have no doubt that we are going to have a Muslim prime minister and this country will bow down to Allah one day. This, our Condon televised it and he was showing in a revel. He was showing Christians and he was saying, after he showed it, he was all Muslim. He said, does Christians know this is going on in our nation? And he began to tell them, he said, keep pressing on. He said, send your children to school. Let them go and read the good courses. Let them get into power. He said, this, if you see the zeal, he said, we can, and he was assuring them. He was so confident. He said, we can do it and we will do it. And they all shouted, yes. Television, if you didn't watch it, I just stumbled on it. I told my church, I said, leave this, let me hear this. Why they are doing that? You know why? They were in one accord. They were not arguing about doctrine. Do you think they were arguing about doctrine there? Do you think they have time to argue about this is the way Muhammad pray? This is the way we pray. That one step on my toe. Do you think if they were doing it, they'll be able to achieve that? From 10 years, from zero, he said, we have 16 in seat in the seat of parliament. He said, that is the beginning. And he said, I tell you, this is the beginning of an Islamic British island. Ah! I said, my God. After I showed it, I would look at the TV. He said, I don't know what Christians are thinking. The man was almost shaking. He said, what is happening to our nation? He said, please, Christians, this is the time to arise. This is the time to take a Christianity serious. He said, we cannot watch and let our nation go down like this. This was a fellow MP in this land, Muslim, guarding all of them. And they were ready. They said they will put everything they have to keep pushing people to power. So when you see Muslims send their children to best school, it's not that because of the education of that child, it's what they are trying to establish a kingdom. We will not even give our own self to our brother for the kingdom. They are giving, they don't know themselves, but they are dedicated to giving everything they have to establish a kingdom. What they are doing is what Jesus asked us to go and do. Go and establish my kingdom come. They are promoting kingdom Allah to come. They said their mission is to do this in this country and America. If they can get that too, they get the whole world. What a vision. And the man has slides of showing them how they accomplish it and how they will attend. They already see it and they have plans how they will achieve it. And it is, as they are planning, it is happening. You know what they are doing? Economical strategy. That's what they are using. Amen. But you know what? We are here despising ourselves. If we raise an agenda challenge, some will be despising it here. Hallelujah. And I keep saying this. Are there Christians in this nation? The way they are fighting, the way Jesus asked us to fight it, he says we should not fight it. But we should allow him to fill us so that through us, he cannot move in the land. Praise the Lord. But while they are doing that, we are busy spending the whole night fighting a devil that's not there. Just because we want to eat and we want more money. Fighting witches and fighting among ourselves. This is why God has put this kind of conference together. In fact, when I was going to work this morning, God said, look, you are not just having a prayer and fasting meeting. He said, you are having my conference. I'm telling you, God told me, God said, you are having my conference. He said, there are conferences and there are conferences. He said, this is my conference you are having because it's about self, you are dealing about selflessness. I was so encouraged when I heard that. I thought maybe I'm the one thinking it. The voice came again, said, you are having my conference this week. This is my, because wherever what I said is being done, that is my own. So many conferences are not his own. Oh, Lord, help us. Every time I read this, I always look. I said, no wonder David said I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many Christians are glad to come to the house of their fathers? Yet, we want a breaches free of Muslims. Yet, we want prosperity in the land. Yet, we want everything. But we don't want, we are not even glad of the house that we want people to come in. We are not even glad of the kingdom we want people to come in. We are not even glad of our brothers, but we want to save others. No wonder we have been long in the Lord and have not been able to win souls. Some people cannot even speak to other people about Jesus. Do you know why? It is a reflection of how you are dealing with the people of God. Because if you cannot love your fellow brother in the Lord, how can you go and save? You can't. God will not anoint you to do it. Because you don't love his people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You think his people is Chinese and you don't like Chinese, so you regard his people because you think it's a China. You are despising the Lord. We have to know people more and know them in the spirit rather than in the flesh. That's not where I'm going. Where I'm really going is John chapter 13. John 13. I don't know if you've been challenged by that. I wish they can show it again. It was between 6 and 7 o'clock. I don't know the time. But when I watch it, I said, these people, man, they have a mission. What a mission. That is the kind of mission we should have. Amen. Jesus said, he said, occupy till I come. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a mission. Are we in John chapter 13? I want to read this because I want to show us something. I want to encourage us as well. Not me, but the Lord. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. I want you to see that. Having loved his own who were in the world. Are you in the world? Yes. He said he loves his own who are in the world, and he loves them to the end. In other words, Jesus Christ, let me tell you, he loves you. He loves you who are is in the world. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. You belong to him. You are only here temporarily to do an assignment for him. But despite assignment or no assignment, he loves his own. Praise the Lord. Can we see that? He loves his own. So Christ loves us. And Paul knew this love more than anybody. Two people, Paul and John, knew the love of God. And they were the ones that went deeper in revelation more than every one of them. Paul said, though I may have tribulation, say yet I'm more than conqueror through him that loved me. Hallelujah. And because he loved them, look at what he did. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he has come from the Father and was going to the Father, rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel, gathered himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with towel with which he was gathered. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Amen. Out of the love that Jesus has for us, he began to wash our feet. He washed the feet of the disciples. What does it mean to wash feet? To wash feet means that he began to serve them. He began to serve them. He began to serve them by doing something that will improve them. Because the feet is a part of your body that touches the ground. The ground is where the dust sits. You know, you might not appreciate that because in this country, every road is tarred and cleaned. But if you go from downtown, the heavenly city where we came from, amen, you will see that you can leave your shoe shining. But by the time you get to your destination, dust has covered everything. This feet is the part of your body that is connected to the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth is the food of the devil. When Adam sinned, God said, now that you have sinned, you have become dust. In other words, the dust stands for this Adamic side of us. Are we understanding me? The dust stands for the Adamic side of us. The place that irritates spiritual beings. This place that is against the spiritual aspect. But here is God himself, Jesus Christ, who is the most high God, the most holy of everyone. He's the one who will judge both the living and the dead. In fact, he was the one that judged the devil and said, you eat dust. Adam, you have become dust. And he said, Adam, because you have become dust, you have nothing to do with me. And he drove Adam away. He was right to drive him. But this same God was the same one that came and began to wash that same dust and wash the feet that picks up dust. Amen. Are we understanding something? And when he did it, he said, what I have done to you, you too do likewise to one another. Praise the Lord. And it was so important that Jesus said that. Jesus said, Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you have no part with me. He didn't say you have no part in me. Amen. It's one thing for you to have part in the Lord. That is to be member of the body, that is to be born again. But you have no part with me in order to be a co-laborer. To be in a place whereby you are co-laboring and working with the Lord. Are you hearing me? To be have a part with him talks about you being prepared to be qualified to reign and to rule with him. You know when he says that Jesus will come back to set up his kingdom. He says some will come to him and he will say, I do not know you. It's because they have no part with him. They were not working with him, though they were in him. Praise the Lord. Paul said, do not frustrate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bible said, no man take this honor to himself except him that the Lord is called. Amen. And Jesus said, if you don't allow me to demonstrate my love to you, if you don't allow me to wash away your feet, you cannot be a part with me. Immediately he said that Peter said something. Peter said, my head, my hand, just wash everything. Praise the Lord. Everything, just wash it. Now, where I'm going is this. Jesus now said that what you see me do, he said, if I let me read it to you, because let's read that part, because that is the main thing. He said this. He said, let me read from verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garment and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. If I am your Lord, if I am your teacher, and I can wash your feet. Amen. You know what Lord means? Lord means the one who judges. The one who leads to war. The one who judges. The one who rules over you. Amen. Now, what kind of Lord is he? He's a Lord of righteousness. He said, if I, as Lord, could stoop down to wash away the errors of your life, I could as well send you out the way I sent Adam out. But there is some part of me that I've come to in this dispensation. I have come to cleanse and to strengthen what is weak and to cleanse away what does not glorify my name. Instead of judging you, I would rather be the one that will cleanse it. And he said, if I, as Lord, as the one that has right, could stoop down and wash away your feet, he said, you ought to do it for one another. Praise the Lord. If somebody who has never smoked before could have mercy on a smoker, all you smokers should be able to have more mercy than one another. Have you ever seen smokers before? They don't need to know one another before they help themselves with lights. Because they understand the pain in the habit. Are you getting me? Now, if somebody who has never smoked before could understand a smoker and relieve his pain, you smokers should do better. If Jesus, who cannot stand any error, does could wash your feet, he said, if I, as a senior in earth, could do that, he said, you ought to do the same for one another. And he went on to say something. He said, why? He said, because I have done this to be an example to you so that you can do the same thing for one another. In other words, I'm doing this so that you can know what you should be doing to yourselves after I go. Because if you don't do this to yourself after I go, you will not be part with me. Notice, washing leads with part with him. Washing leads with what? Part with him. Praise the Lord. Why would he say that? Because he knows that people who will come into the kingdom, everybody will come in with different dust on their feet. Though we are washed, formerly, before we came to Christ, we were all dust. It wasn't that dust was in our feet. We were dust from head to toe. But when we came to the cross, that dust part of us was crucified with Christ. We died and we raised up and we came out as a new man. And when we came back as a new man, we were clean from head to toe. But the moment we step on earth, every day we walk on this earth, our legs still carries some residual dust. Are you getting me? And Jesus said, when you see this dust, you ought to wash it from one another. Don't let it repel you away from one another, but rather let it bring you together and wash one another. Why are we saying this? This is one of the most powerful weapon of the enemy to bring division and make the church weak. Amen. You know why? Because it is the dust that is in people's feet that sends people apart in the body of Christ today. Praise the Lord. Some people, they are so high class that the low class, including believers and non-entities, they are not going to heaven. They can't associate with them. Hallelujah. Some people are so holy that every other error of everybody makes them out of heaven. They are going to burn here. They are, the devil says, I can't have anything to do with them. Whereas every single person in the body of Christ is connected to one another. Once the tongue suffers, the whole body suffers. Are we hearing me? There are some, I hear about some places in Nigeria, they said that church is the church of the rich people. The rich people go there. When I went to one place in Nigeria, they said there were churches that the rich people go there. And there are some churches that they are for poor people. And there are some churches that are for middle class. There are some churches that are for different classes of churches. Amen. In this Western world, you have some churches which are for Africans, some churches which are Jamaican, some are English churches, some are Iranian churches, different kinds of churches. Praise the Lord. But what Christ is saying, that those dust is something that we ought to wash. It's a sacrifice. You know, we have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves and cleanse and take care of one another's error. Praise the Lord. The moment we get to that place, I'm telling you, it will be very easy for the people of God to work together. And once we can work together, you know something? Destinies will be fulfilled like anything. For a good example, the early church, Jesus said, go and wait for me. If you notice, the Holy Spirit never came until they were in one accord. And Bible said, when they were in one accord and they cried, it was in the midst of that one accord that the Holy Spirit now came. Now, if Holy Spirit came in the midst of one accord, the devil knew instantly from that moment that for me to get this Holy Spirit from stop working, I must attack this one accord. Going down to chapter 6, you know, it is that one accord, the first attack. What was the attack? Food and tribalism. The Hellenists and the Jews. Why is it that it is these ones that you are serving? The Jews are serving this and they are forgetting the Hellenist women. Amen. And fight began. Amen. The moment that began, the apostles came in instantly. And they said, no, we can't allow this. Said, so we have to give ourselves to prayer and fasting, but let's select men among you who will deal with this matter, and let's keep going on. Amen. And Bible said they were all with one heart and one mind, and they all had their food together. And many, many also believed in the Lord and were added to the faith. Bible said even the priests were added to the faith. Amen. After they did that and they continued. Growth keep going on. Praise the Lord. And that is one thing that I see that the Lord Jesus is pointing out to us today. God is telling me, and all he's telling to me is that, wash one another's feet. He didn't say that he will come back and wash our feet. He said, since you have seen me done this to you, he said, you should do it now to one another. He did it physically, but there was a spiritual meaning. And the spiritual meaning is that, even though we are a new creation in Christ, but there is still a part of us that is touching this earth. Hallelujah. And we ought to begin to take care and understand and wash one another's feet and develop compassion and tender heartedness for one another. Covering our weaknesses, washing away our weaknesses. Amen. If you notice, two ways. Jesus had to decide to humble himself to wash the feet of Peter. Peter too had to be noble enough to release his feet. Because Jesus was humble to wash his feet, he said, no, Lord. Amen. So it's wanting to wash some people's feet. It's another thing for some people to want you to wash their feet. Some people will never allow you to wash their feet. How do you wash their feet? I want to tell us practical ways. There is a physical way which we are going to do by the grace of God today. But what we are doing physically is a spiritual dimension. If I'm going to wash your feet, it takes me to encourage you. And it takes me sometime to tell you, sister, what you did there was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. It was against the law. And I will use my own, what is my water? The word of the Lord is the water. The word of God says, this is how we should do it, but this is what you have done. Amen. Are you getting me? So I want to encourage you, sister, please. Change. Not in a rude way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have decided to work together. It is in line with the word of God. God wants to do something new. We want to go to nations. We want to fulfill our destiny. We have all agreed. But 2 days after, brother, you have just come very late. We don't know what's wrong with this. Don't forget what we did. It is. You can either say, don't say that to me. Or you can receive it and say, look, thank you. I received that word. And that word is water today. Praise the Lord. We are going to do it physically, but our physical thing is not what touches our heart. It's only a prophetic act to connect with the Lord and say, Lord, we are ready. But after we do this physical act, God begins to say, okay, now, take care of your brothers now. Be your brother's keeper. In other words, if my sister is lacking and she needs food and she needs help, I must help her. And also, if she's walking in ways that it will not help her with the Lord, I must be able to say, sister, the Lord is not happy with what you are doing. Change. And if you are in need, I must be able to supply your need also. Some people, all they know is to criticize. You are wrong. You are bad. But when it comes to helping, they'll say, go and pray. No, that's not good. It has to be a two-edged sword. God judges, or he also has mercy. Praise the Lord. And that is the same nature that is in us. Please, what I'm saying is very simple, but if we can hold on to this key, I'm telling you, will go far with God. Do you know one of the reasons why people are not making it with God is because their divine connection, they have left it long ago. Some people, the moment they pray like this, God answers and God sends the answer. But when the answer comes, the answer comes in a way they never expected. They thought the answer was going to come like a king flowing from heaven. But it came through a manger. Was born in a manger. The same way somebody prayed. Somewhere I said, Lord, I call upon you. Please send me. I need wisdom. And the moment you pray for wisdom, sister Comfort entered. Boom, boom, boom. And look, what job do you do? She told you, Lord, give me wisdom. Whereas the wisdom is all in her. But you looked at her. You looked at where she got. You looked at the kind of job she did. This one, I need to keep praying. Amen. So you put your gear and keep fasting. And the more you fast, the more Sister Comfort keep knocking on your door. I just wanted to come and greet you. Say, this woman, I want better people. You are coming. Please. I get you. The more you call upon God, until God says, look, Comfort, just stay apart. Are we understanding me? Practical ways in which believers have missed it. Bible, somebody said the graveyard is the richest place in the whole world. Because that is where untapped destinies and riches have been buried. Praise the Lord. I want us to be challenged today. Life is more than what we see. I have seen the most nonentious people being a source of breakthrough in my life. People that will not want to solve, they didn't have the answer, but they knew people who have the answer. I would not have met those people without these ones. God brought them in answer to prayer. But how you deal with them matters. That's why I said you better be careful, because you do not know who stranger comes to you. For some have entertained angels unknowingly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will not deceive you. I say, let us bind. There's a witch somewhere and there. Even if a witch is going to come against you, let me tell you. Can I tell you a little bit about voodoo? About how voodoo works? How voodoo works is like your remote control. I'm telling you. It's like remote control. Let me tell you. If you take the remote control in my house and you take it to Sister Christine and try to control, I tell you, would he respond? Why? Because the remote control has a chip in it that identifies the same chip in my telly and it affects it. When Christ came, what he did was that everything that is of doors that Satan has in his own that always identifies what he has with the people, through the cross, he destroyed it and raised up as a new creation. Since that day, when Satan presses remote control, it doesn't affect you. But one thing he knows that you still remember how he used to control you. So he keeps reminding you. Now, that remembrance is what people are calling that we need deliverance. We need to die. The devil. Hallelujah. I get it. And all they need to know is that I might not be able to stop you from using your remote control. Your remote control can still be in your hand, but I know that I'm a new telly. Hallelujah. If I come to, if Sister Christine and her husband are watching a program, and they keep their remote control in their pocket, and I come to their house with my own, and I say, I want the channel changed. They say, no, you can't change it. They are so confident I can't do anything. If I pull my own and I say, okay, you think you have, you can, this is my own, they will just be laughing. Will you be bothered? If I pull out my remote control, will you cry upon God? God, bind this spirit of remote control in the hand of Pastor Dabo. I bind this in the name of, it is stupid prayer. Isn't that stupid? Absolutely. They will be arrested. They'll just look at me, okay, continue, use it. Because they are confident of what they have in their house, that it doesn't have anything that will identify with you. Are we hearing me? It's warfare ends with that knowledge. Everything the devil will ever have is destroyed by that. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. So when I go to places and that's all the witches in my mother's house. In fact, they saw the one that was funny. They told her, they said there's a witch in somewhere and in this backyard, and as they were saying, they said, yeah, that's true. Hey, that's true. There's a little thing under you in the backyard of your girl. Hey, that's true. How did you know? That's true. God has just taken my spirit to your father's house in Ghana. And I see this and I see that. Say, that's true. That's true. Amen. The question is, that thing can be there. That's true. As I was saying, yeah, I said, yeah, that is true. It can be there. Yes, that's true. It can be there. Yes. And that is what is affecting you. And I said, that is not wrong now. Because she has become a new creation. Her problem is that she knew it. And as you are reminding her, all the remembrance is coming out. And the heart is saying, since you remember, you are under it. And Bible says that to walk in the flesh, you set your mind on things of the flesh. And to walk in the spirit, you set your mind on things of the spirit. So if you are in spirit, and the devil can make you set your mind on things of the flesh by reminding you of what you have before, once your mind is on that flesh, you come under that influence. Even though you should not as a child of God. That is the explanation of it. Hallelujah. Are we understanding me? So if somebody says, Pastor, I see this, I see that, I see that. The next thing is to go to the Lord. Lord, this is what they see. That is true. But would this affect me, Lord? If the Lord says, yeah, okay, I ask God, where in the flesh am I operating that I need to come out? And God will tell you, this area. You have on your own forgiveness with this. You think you are forgiven, but you have not really forgiven. Oh, Lord, I forgive. And once you forgive, because that is why the Holy Spirit is there. And it shows you, because it's the reason what gives the enemy access has to do with one defect of character in your life or the other. Amen. And once you are just pimp, that is it. The ground is taken. You operate, you continue to operate in your heavenly places. Let them throw all the arrows. It will not identify with anything in you. Jesus never went around bothering the devil. If I went, the devil said, the worker will come, but find nothing in me. He's cheap. Was not in him to affect. The same Christ as he is, so are you in this world. So if that's how we operate, why should you be running away? It's as simple as that. Praise the Lord. They don't want me because if I preach this in some places, the ministry will stop because that's the foundation and that the reason why that ministry exists. it closes down instantly. I'm telling you, it's true. You know, and God is going to begin to bring this out. You watch in the next 3 years, there are some John the Baptist in the wilderness coming now. And you'll be hearing things that this very soon, God has showed me. And many of them are still in secondary school, very young people. But God is imbibing them knowledge like this. Amen. God's going to use many of us to be fathers over them, but this will be the message they carry. And it's going to shut a lot of things down. But they'll go through a lot of persecution, but they will not give up. Because the old prophets want to kill them, but they will say, no. We know this is true. Our fathers might have bowed to this, but we know that Christ has set us above every other of these things. I don't know why I went into that area. But he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has said. Praise the Lord. Do you know why I'm saying this to you? Because if you agree, you are in trouble. You get me? Let me give you a good example. Saul was already king. By virtue of being a king, he has authority over the people of God. He didn't have relationship with God, but he was still a king. So the moment Saul made a decree, Saul said, whoever eats until I've destroyed the Philistine is cursed. Now, God didn't say it. But by virtue of his position as a king, the principle of a king over the people, God didn't say it. In fact, God was looking for somebody to use for Israel to be delivered. And he said, whoever eats before he destroyed the Philistines, I know where that place is, First Samuel. He said this curse. God didn't say, he said it. The curse is stand. You know why? Because the people agreed. Now, Jonathan didn't know. He enjoyed honey. He ate himself. He destroyed the people, came back, he still didn't know. He was innocent. Until they told him, I said, did you not hear that your fathers put this? Said, ah. But yet, he ate. Well, not, because he didn't know, he didn't hear it. And he was used by God to deliver. Those who did not eat were under the curse. Number one, they didn't destroy the enemy. Number two, they were hungry. Hungry in the camp, yet the enemy was still tormenting them. And many people are hungry in the camp of God. Yeah, the devil. But still, yet he didn't move. God's looking for those who have not had the wars of ungodly kings. So, but if a man stands on the altar of God with authority, even though he might pronounce it, God didn't say, sometimes he can stand if in one accord, everybody agrees. Are you getting me? Kai, the devil is here. I just see this happening. There are witches everywhere. Yay! Amen! That's it. He just stands. God didn't say, but he stands. So you all need deliverance at that moment now. So that's why when I say I'm in those places and I don't agree, I keep acknowledging the Lord. I'm only doing this to teach us and to equip us so that we can know how to stand out there. Amen. And if you feel I'm not, like Paul would say, if you feel I'm not saying the truth, go and ask God. I'm that confident. Go and ask him. I say, Pastor said this, but this is what I have been used to. Lord, what is the truth? I believe God will tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wash one another's feet. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to wash one another's feet. But as we wash one another's feet, I want us to wash it with our heart. It is not the physical washing. But as I'm washing my sister's feet, today what I'm doing is that I'm going to be your keeper. In your strength, I'll be your encourager. In your weakness, I'll also be with you. I might bring the word of the Lord to you, but I will stand with you. Your weakness or your strength doesn't determine my relationship with you. What determines my relationship with you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting me? Is the what? The blood of Jesus Christ, what determines my relationship with you. Amen. We are one. If you fall, it will affect me. And so I'm standing to make sure that you stand. If you also rise and you keep rising, I rise with you. So in your rising, I rejoice because I know I'm rising. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding me? If you do things in ways I don't understand, it still will not hinder my relationship with you. because we are still going through process of deliverance. Amen. We are a new creation, but in our mind, we still struggle with some cultural background that is still flowing along with us. Amen. Are you getting me? And sometimes some errors come out for us to know the real state of who we are so that we can turn around. Praise the Lord. This is a very simple principle that God has asked me to bring to us today. If we can hold on to this, we will go far with God, we'll go far on earth. We will shake nations, we will shake cities. People will go to places, people will say, this one that have turned the world upside down have come here again. Those people did it not because they prayed more than us. Do you know it's not that the early churches pray more than church today. In fact, the prayer we are praying today, is amazing. People are praying. People are praying. People are praying, especially in the third world nations. People are praying. I've seen different kinds of prayer that, I'm telling you, if it is just those ones, things should have changed. I've seen karate prayer. Whereby people, it's like Taya. different kinds of prayer. Different people are praying. I'm telling you, the principle is what we don't know. Praise the Lord. I've been to a garden, they said the one big garden they do in Nigeria. All night people prayed without karate, sweating, only to find them even fighting on the expressway, fight and slap one another. You, me and you, they roll up beating themselves after all this prayer. After all night. So, what made them fight? That is what the Holy Spirit wants to deal with. That is his work on earth. Not the devil that they banged all night. And they fought and fought and fought. Praise God. And some were saying, look, Christianity aside, if not of Jesus, me and you talk to me. I'm telling you. You know, it's funny, but I'm bringing all these things out for us to know, to see what really matters in the heart of God. Amen. And one thing that God says is that if we seek his kingdom in this way, and we seek his righteousness, he said, all these things shall be added to us. I've seen men that have not sweat, but yet they live comfortably. Are you getting me? Bishop Oyedepo gave a testimony. He said there was a man who was crazy, mad. And they brought him everywhere. He said all he did was that he told them, let him sleep, bring him to his house, and put him in one of the rooms of his house, and come and take him the next day, he'll be all right. He got into his house, he slept next day. The next day, they met him, he greeted them, good morning, normal. That is what I want. Not, who is the devil, you or the world? We don't even know who is the devil now. But, you know, that is a testimony. Are you understanding me? See, he said, just bring it to my house. He didn't even see the man. He just said, put him in that room. And he slept. He said, they slept comfortably in the house. The next morning, he was the one that was greeting them. Good morning. You know, in the language, good morning. Asking them, helping them in the house. And then the people came, they took him, and that was off. That is God. But if before it happens, I had to do, people will say, maybe it was he shouting. Amen. The thing is that what made it, he was so full of Christ, so much that the atmosphere alone changes things. Are you understanding me? That is where we want to be. And how can you get there? By knowing the principle of the body of Christ. These are things that we must begin to operate in. Praise the Lord. I'm not putting that anybody. I don't get put in any ministry. I am just talking to you as children. You get me? There are things a father can speak to his children in the secret and say, look, this is what's going on, but let me tell you the truth. Amen. Some of the things I say here, I might not be able to say it outside, but I can say it here. And some of them I say it outside and people get angry, but at the end of it, the truth is the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what we're going to do? We're going to wash 100 feet. And as we wash 100 feet, we're going to just believe God for an anointing and impartation tonight. Amen. And what I want to do is I want to do it in a service way. Amen. I want our ministers to wash the feet of the deacons wash the feet of the workers in the church. You get me? And as we are doing that, we are affirming unity and oneness. And as we do that together and we finish that, one prayer we're going to pray. The blessings of love and kindness. That blessing that God spoke about, I'll tell you, it's from Psalm 113. He said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together and win in unity. He said, for there the Lord commanded blessing. He didn't say, for there the Lord commanded, E-D ended it. Now, when I read that time that God has already commanded blessings, but it is not manifesting because there is no right atmosphere. Praise the Lord. But as we do this, we clear the atmosphere. Amen. And once you are blessed, you will not fight anybody anymore. The reason why people fight is because they are poor. Hungry man will fight. Go to Peckham, there are destruction everywhere. Amen. But you go to the high places. Why is it that rich places, there's no trouble? But you go to poor areas, even the faces of people is like lion coming. I get him very angry, very violent. But we are kings and priests in the kingdom. I don't care what you are physically. You are rich spiritually. You are a king. God has enthroned you. Do you know that? That is why when you pray in the name of Jesus, angels bow down to you. You just don't know it. We want to see angels, but angels desire to serve us. When we don't pray, angels get frustrated. Because they are very happy when you send them on errand. When you pray and they go on errand for you, they are very happy. Because it takes them to God. And they go to God and say, Lord, one of your kings has sent me to you. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, go and tell that king what is requiring for this. And they just come, sir. But you don't know. Here you are thinking I'm just a little wink, just running about. And the angels are surprised. The angels are looking at the castle. What is he saying? Sir, don't talk like this. And you keep saying, please, sir, don't talk like this. Are you understand? I'm telling you the truth in this realm of spirit. They honor you as they honor the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't joke with you. Are you getting me? They really don't joke with you at all. That's why when you mess up, they are like frustrated. My God, Lord, do something. Amen. We have been highly honored. Imagine angels honoring you like that. But when you are praying and begging God for the devil. They are wondering, what's wrong with this king? You are my king. Even the angel look at the devil and say, this one, I'll destroy this one in 1 minute. Command me, Lord, deliver from this devil. Command me, my king. Because the angels, they know the devils. They've all been in heaven together. They can see themselves and remind themselves, remember, don't try it again. Remember what happened in heaven. We drove you out. And the demon will tell them, you can't do anything because your king has not commanded you. And in your kingdom, you can never do anything without order. And you don't take decision on your own. You have to hear it first. So you say you are weak, you can't do anything. Amen. And the angel be keep tapping. Pray, call upon the name. I will destroy him. And then, it is a pastor. Complain. And they said, don't complain. Call. I am here to deal with this one. Can we see? Spiritual realm is real. Praise the Lord. I think this is what deliverance means. I need to be teaching people. What activities of the spirit, not all these kind of things. Praise God. Amen. I want us to get let's get the things ready. I'm just talking for us to get it ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what we're going to do is that we're going to wash one. What I do before, I do it. But the way God put it in my heart is that I should not do it. You ought to, he said, we ought to do it for one another. Praise the Lord. And so I want